Well, I'm honored to be here today. Thank you so much for having me. I love your pastors. They're great friends, and I believe God connected us. And if a Kentucky guy and an Indiana guy are good friends, you know God's in it, right? Come on. And we debate basketball all the time. I'm not going to get that with you because we know who's the best. Anyway, I want to get to this. No, just joking. But it's an honor to be here, and you are a great church, and I'm just honored to see what God is doing through you, and I believe that the best is yet to come. How many believe that the best is yet to come because of Jesus? And I want to encourage all the moms today. I want to speak to everyone today, both in this room and online, to encourage you with a thought that God gave me, and I just want to build your faith today, and I want to preach a message entitled Sight versus Vision. Please sit with me and say sight versus vision. And I believe this will make sense as I get into this. First, I want to show you a picture of my family because they say if you do this, people will listen to you more. So here's a picture of my family and my wife, Summer, and our four kids. True story, she said if she would marry a white guy, he had to be bald. Thank you, Jesus. That is a true story. She actually prayed that. And those are our four kids. And she's preaching back home today, right now, actually. And I'm just honored. I married up with her. My life is so much better because of her. I'm a better man because of her. And I'm honored today. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I want to read just one verse, and then here in a moment, I'll reference another one. I want to set this up, and then I'll pray. This is a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul is really talking about the desire for the heavenly body that all of us are going to have once we pass away or when Jesus comes, that you and I are going to be transformed and have a new body. And how many know that in heaven we can eat whatever we want and have no calories? Come on, Jesus. I know there's brownies in heaven. I know it. There's homemade pie in heaven. Come on, can I get an amen? I really don't know that. I'm just hoping there is. But we know that there's no calories. But he's talking about a heavenly body. And then this is the passage of Scripture where we have the verse, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so he's talking about the desire of a transformed body in heaven. And then he says this verse in chapter 5, verse 7. For we live by believing and not by seeing. If you have an old school Bible, that's a King James version. It says, we live by faith, not by sight. And I want to encourage you today, all the mothers, everyone in this room and online, on the idea of sight versus vision, and really thinking about what God has for our lives. So Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in this great church. I pray that every one of us would lay down our resistance, set aside our distractions, and for a few minutes lean in and receive today. Help us have more of you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Helen Keller said a profound statement. She said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. So from this quote, of course, she was blind and had other challenges, but really she rose through it all and changed history, impacted our nation with her life. Someone can be physically blind and still have vision. Someone can have sight and have no vision. Jesus, I believe, has something for you and I that is profound for our present and our future. And God wants you and I to understand that it, I believe, is connected to the vision he has for us. So I want to unpack two thoughts today. I want to unpack sight and then vision. And then I want to share with you how you and I can have vision for our lives in Christ. So first we have sight. Now the Bible says in Proverbs that eyes are a gift from the Lord. And if you have trouble with your eyesight today, I'm sure the prayer team would love to pray with you. I remember praying in Africa with about 12 altar workers for a lady. I was in Kenya with Brother R.W. Schambach and had just an amazing crusade, just a lifetime experience, lifetime trip. And a lady was born blind, and she came up for prayer, and about 12 of us were praying for her. And I remember she screamed out, and she said, "I can see, I can see." And we were a part of a miracle, and I saw that. And so God can heal eyesight. Aren't you glad God can heal eyesight today? And our sight is something to value. You know, in fact, today I pray that all the families, and today I know this day may be an amazing day for you, and for others this, you know, day may be very challenging. It seems like family holidays bring out the best and worst at times. And so I want to just take time to acknowledge that some of us today in this room or online are maybe in pain. Maybe this day is a painful day for whatever reason. And God knows you and sees you, and he wants to comfort you. No matter where we're at in this moment, I do hope that all of us can enjoy this beautiful day and take in the sights and the sounds and the friends and the families that we have around us. And we do that with our sight. Think about how powerful our eyes are. Our eyes help us process the moments that we have. Our eyes help us process, you know, beautiful people or beautiful scenery. We can take in, you know, trips of a lifetime. We can take in, you know, moments that we've wanted to experience. We can process it, and then through our eye gate, it goes into our life, and we never forget it. In fact, Jesus said that eyes are so powerful that when our eyes are clean, our whole body is clean. Our eyes are very important, and our eyes are connected to so much of what we experience in this life. And so I hope that all of us maybe would lay down our phones a little bit more than we do maybe and look at each other in the face. Eye-to-eye contact. I teach my sons, have a firm handshake, look people in the eye, say please and thank you. And every week, you know, I have, you know, different days of the week for each of my kids. And we go to the gas station, I get them some candy or something. And, you know, with the boys, we talk about girls and all that, navigate that. And then when it's their day, they choose the conversation topic that we're going to talk about around the table. Because I want to teach my kids how to have a conversation by using words and not by texting. Come on. Can I get an amen? All right. So we take in the moments, and I pray all of us do more of that. The one challenge about sight, however, is that our eyes are limited to what we see. In other words, what we see is what we see. And, you know, as it can be beautiful and amazing, it is limited. Our challenge can be that our sight fuels and is connected to our emotions and our feelings and at times our belief of what reality is around us. In other words, I'm seeing something and it triggers my emotions. Have you been there before? I'm seeing something and I'm triggered maybe in a good or bad way based on what I'm seeing and of course hearing and feeling, yes, but our eyes are a big part of this. And our eyes are really filtering in what's happening, and really a lot of our experience is to follow. And so our eyes are a gift of the Lord, but they're also limited. In fact, I don't know if you've been here before, but I've been in places, and you know, I remember our first building when it was the church building I grew up in. It was so small. It would seat 144 people. We had pews. And it was old, and it was tough. And I remember I was helping my dad, and one day I had this idea. We had a special meeting on a Tuesday night, and I put out extra chairs, and I was, you know, it would have, you know, made it 175 people. I was ready to go, and I believed if it was filled up, I was going to be Billy Graham all over again. I was going to take the world for Jesus, and I was ready to go. And the service started, and 75 people showed up. And I remember a family member older than me, seasoned in the Lord, laughed at me and mocked at me because of what I tried to do. My eyes, though, took in that half-filled small room, and I processed that I failed. I processed that God couldn't do it. God couldn't, you know, change it. You know, it was too hard of a hill to climb. And so sometimes as we're seeing something, we can gauge a form of reality thinking this is what's happening, but maybe that's not what all is happening. And so I don't know if you've been there. Maybe you've seen something and you've processed it and you feel like, man, you know, this is the way it is. But how many know that in God, what we're seeing isn't the final story? That God can be moving in ways that we don't see. And I've seen God do miracles in my family and in our church. And you know what? God vindicated me because our church has exploded, and I give God all the praise. My dad just preached in Pakistan to a crowd of over 90,000 people, and 81,195 people came to Jesus because God is working beyond what you're seeing with your eyes. Come on, give him praise real quick. He deserves it. Our eyes are a gift, but if you and I allow our lives to be guided, please hear me, if you and I allow our lives to be guided and we live by what we see only, you and I will be on a roller coaster constantly. You and I will be up and you and I will be down. And it may change multiple times in a day. Have you been there before, right? In the morning, you feel great and you get on the road and someone cuts you off and you know, give them the bird. Then you got to, anyone done that before? I see someone over here. Anyway, no, just joking. And then, you know, it's amazing how many emotions we have, you know, in one morning, let alone one day. And if we go off what we see only, we will be up and down with the ebb and the flow of life. And really, while we are to expound on this gift of sight and take in the moments, make memories, if we live by this, I would say that we'll be limited in our walk with God. Now, if you don't know Jesus today, receive Jesus. If you're far from Jesus, come back to him. Because he's the only way to live. He's the only one to live for. And after you and I receive Jesus, you and I have another way to live. We live by believing and not by seeing. I'm just going to tell everyone right now in this room and online, that many times we're seeing things with our eyes and we think, and maybe we even say to ourselves, well, God didn't do it. My family's not changing. My business isn't working. And I'm not saying we deny reality. That's not, I mean, that's weird, right? That's kooky. I'm not saying that. Maybe reality is saying, you know, certain things and our kids aren't changing and our marriage is struggling and, you know, life is hard or money's hard. And that is reality, but I'm here to say it's not the only reality. Because in Christ, God can do anything. In Jesus, God can do anything. I'm going to say it one more time. In Jesus, God can do anything. And when you and I have God in our life, anything is possible. This is why we must live by believing and not by seeing only. Because I don't know about you, but you know, recently we were on a roller coaster. And I took my son, Davin, on the biggest roller coaster Kings Island had. And I don't know what I was thinking. And I was trying to be macho dad in front of my kids. I about threw up 5 times. And we got off of it. I never wanted to do that again. Another time, one of the biggest fights that Summer and I ever got into, it was her fault, of course. You know how that goes. And just joking. It's a joke. And we were at Kings Island, and she loves roller coasters, and it was a horrible day for so many different reasons. We finally got on a roller coaster, and it was, it jerked me around. I was up and down. My head was hitting the sides of the seat, and the guy in front of me was just cussing every cuss word he could say. And I was like, just go ahead and cuss for me, brother, right now, because I can't say it. Just go ahead and say every word. And then, of course, I prayed that God would forgive him. But the point is that how many of us want to be on a roller coaster every day? Up, down, turning around, up, down, all over. None of us can handle that constantly. But if you and I go off what we see, that's what you and I will be. This is why there's something beyond sight. Everyone say vision. Notice again what the Apostle Paul said. We live by believing and not by seeing. What does that mean? Well, Helen Keller said, again, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Vision, please stay with me, vision sees what is not there. Vision sees beyond the visible. Vision opens the door of possibilities and hope. Vision sees what could be. Vision fuels creativity. Vision can inspire a dream and give opportunity for a business, an invention, a life goal, a family goal, something in your heart that's beyond what you see naturally. You see it in your mind's eye. And I'm not preaching about, you know, willpower and mind power. I'm talking about Jesus today. And Paul said, we live by believing, not by seeing. Of course, that when we pass away or Jesus comes, we're going to be with God in heaven forever. But this verse also applies right now, that you and I have to choose to live by believing and not by seeing. Our challenge is, I don't know if you're like me, this is my challenge. It's easier to believe what I see versus what I don't see. Have you been there before? And what God has for us is God has something beyond sight. God has vision. And please hear this. Vision gives opportunities in our life to break barriers, to change trajectories, to grab possibilities, and to see God do the impossible. This is what God wants to do for every mother today that is praying for your family. God has a vision for your family. For every person that wonders what's next, God has a vision for your life. For every person that doesn't know why you're here, or you were dragged to church by someone, I'm telling you, God brought you here, or you're watching, because God has more for you than your paycheck. God has more for you than your working career. God has more for you than your sports career. God has a purpose. Hear me. God has a purpose that is beyond living a long life and having grandkids and then going to heaven. It is something that you and I can have that gives life to our faith, and it leaves a mark both now and for eternity. And it comes through vision. I'm going to prove it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10, Paul said this. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Notice, for you and I, no eye has seen and no ear has heard what God has for you and me. So, you and I have to receive it through the Spirit of God. God's plan for us, his vision for us, must be received in our life through the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. In America, when I say this, most people go to, yes, God has a vision for my life. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to marry the woman of my dreams. I'm going to live in a tropical place. I'm going to live with, you know, a life with no problems. I'm going to have everything I want. Yes, Jesus, I want that vision. That's not what I said. And that's not what the Bible said. Now, if you become a multimillionaire, I know on behalf of the pastors here, please tithe and let the Lord use you in your giving. This side didn't really respond, but I'm telling you, it's the Bible. It's good. And if God gives you all your dreams, God bless you. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that God has something for your life that's beyond what your eye has seen and what your ear has heard. There's possibilities that God has for you and I that is beyond what we're seeing with our eyes. And so today, what is your marriage showing you in the mirror? Where is your life at right now? Where are your kids? Where is your job? Where is your hope? Where is your purpose? What are you seeing in the mirror? What is your eyes telling you? And whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, here's good news. God has something gooder. And that's a real word. God has something gooder for your life. I'm going to talk right. God has something better than what you're seeing for your life. And it comes in his vision for you and for me. But notice, folks, it is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to ask you here before I move on, are you living your life today only by what you see? Are you up and down by social media? Some of us get mad because someone posts something. Oh, I can't believe it. Ah. And our day's ruined because of someone's crazy opinion on social media. Are you living by your sight? Are you up and down by your husband's temperament? Are you up and down? And I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm just asking, how are you living today? Because God has a vision for your life that is great. And you and I have to take in the sight that we have and process the vision, you know, our natural vision and thank God for it. But also we have to choose, I'm going to live by believing that when I don't see it, God has something for me still. And I'm going to believe that God can do it. So the question is, in my remaining time with you, how do we do this? Thank you, Pastor Dave. This sounds good, but how in the world do I live by believing and not by seeing? I believe this. If you're taking notes today, just write this down. I know this is not deep, but please hear me. It is deep. You and I receive a vision from God by believing God's word. What does that mean? You and I believe the word of God is his word, and we base our life on Christ and what God says for us. Now, I don't know the specific vision and destiny for your life. I can't speak on that. Only God knows. But I do know if you want to know the vision for your life, you have to start with the word of God. And I want to encourage you today that there are over 7,400 promises in the Bible for your life. Did you know that? And every one of those promises are for you. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? And, you know, I don't know if all the promises of God are for me. Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that all the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. So when I read the promises of God, I can see I may not have a vision. I may not have a dream yet. I may be staring at a divorce. I may be staring at, you know, poverty. I may be staring at a rough situation. I may be staring at all my dreams crumbling. I may be staring at, you know, all my dreams coming true. I don't know what you're looking at today, but we start with the word of God, and there is a verse and a promise for you in this book. It is not just a book we open on Sunday. It is what we live our life on. And when I live my life through Jesus, through his word, hear me, when life is steady and when life is unstable, I can remain steady because I live by what I believe, not by what I see. And therefore, I can have peace in my soul and peace in my heart. That when things around me are crazy, I can have peace within me. When I don't know what's going to happen next, God comes in and God moves in my life. When I don't know, you know, how I'm going to make it in my marriage. When I don't know who I'm going to marry. When I don't know what's next, God does. And when I live my life based on what he says, it brings stability to my emotions. And yes, my emotions go up. And yes, my emotions go down. We all have real feelings. We all get angry and we all get discouraged and we all get upset. But as we filter through all those emotions, we land back on the word of God. And I base my life on the word of God. And so today I want to encourage you on Mother's Day of this year that God has a vision for your life. Mothers, you may be looking at a marriage that's tough. Maybe your kids are all over the place and you don't know what to do. I want to encourage you today to find a verse like in Isaiah. My children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace. Or you go in Psalms 102, my children shall thrive in the presence of the Lord. Well, they're not thriving. They're on drugs. They're doing the opposite. I know. But you're not going off what you see. You go off the vision that God has, and you find the vision in God's word, and you begin to pray it, and you begin to believe it, even in spite of you not seeing it. And listen, I don't know if I can do this. We all do it. Did you know that everyone in this room and online already has the disposition that does this anyway? Think about this. For many Americans, they don't like their jobs. But they go anyway. They overcome their feelings. They overcome their emotions. They overcome their boss, who they think is Lucifer's first cousin. And they show up and they work. Get up on Monday, don't want to do it, but they get up, they get dressed, and they go to work. And then there's overtime. And you come in at 3 in the morning, set the alarm, get up. I'm going to go and get overtime. I hate it, but I'm going to do it. We have already got this disposition on the inside. How about medicine? We have a lot of doctors in our church. Thank God for medicine, right? Thank God for doctors. But we do this with doctors. And we're sick and we go to the doctor's office and they give us medicine. And then maybe it doesn't work. Do we all say, well, I'm never trying a doctor again. I'm never going to get medicine ever again in my life. We call the next week and get more medicine. Am I talking to someone here? I know I'm preaching true. And we keep on doing it. And then if that doesn't work, we'll call a different doctor and we'll reach for a different medication. We won't give up. We already have in our disposition the DNA to push through feelings and really overcome what we're seeing to survive. What if we take that same tenacity and we apply it to God? That I'm not seeing it, but I'm not quitting until I see God move on my life. Well, I don't feel it today. Well, God's word says it. I don't see it today. God's word says it. I don't know what's gonna happen next. God's word says it. And we keep getting up every day and we're consistent and we're strong and my son is acting out and my daughter doesn't believe, but I'm gonna pray my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace. My children shall thrive in the presence of the Lord. That's what I'm speaking today. We go off vision. How about for your future? Did you know that depression is connected to our past and anxiety is a projection into the future? Many people in this room and online are afraid of the future. Anxiety, overwhelming anxiety. I don't know what to do about the future. I don't know what's next. Well, there's a promise on that. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 that the path of the just is brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. There'll be trials and there'll be tests. There'll be good times. There'll be bad times. But the path of the just goes brighter and brighter into the perfect day. That means I'm not afraid of the boogeyman coming out from the corner. I don't have to be afraid of it's too good to be true. When I walk with God, my life's going to get better and my life's going to get stronger. I'm going to walk in Jesus. I'm going to move with Jesus. And when I have storms come, I'm going to be built on God and I'm going to be steady when everything else is not. How about marriage? There's so many verses on marriage. My favorite verse on marriage is you shall be naked, not ashamed. Come on, somebody. You can say amen if you want to. I know it's spiritual. Oh, God. Hallelujah. All the guys are like, I know, that's right. Where's that verse? Genesis chapter 2. Oh, the Bible's great. Well, I don't know. I thought God wants to make my marriage horrible and make sex horrible and make my life miserable. No, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, you shall enjoy the wife of your youth. You shall have passion and romance. I just left out a line out of that verse. I didn't want to offend you, but since I'm leaving today, I'm going to tell you that line. And the Bible says, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Whoa, hallelujah, come on. That's what the Bible says. Some man's like, this is a great church. I'm going to come back to this church. I believe what the Bible says. I told you, honey, I knew it was in there. I knew the word of God was right. I know I'm being facetious, but really I'm not. That's a promise in the word of God that our marriage can be full of vitality and faith and passion and romance, and we can end strong together. That's the promise of God. How about my mind? My mind's out of control. I don't know what to do. I'm having crazy thoughts. Isaiah 26 says, when you and I keep our mind on Jesus, he will keep us in perfect peace. So in closing, are you living by sight, or are you living by vision? Now, this is Mother's Day. And I'm going to tell you about my mom. who did this and does it now. When I was in kindergarten, I got in trouble every day except my birthday. The principal even spanked me when I was in kindergarten. And you know it was his fault, not mine. No, it was mine. And the teacher, I mean, just the first week of school, came up to my mother, and she looked at my mom and kind of with just a resolute attitude said, "Your son's going to get in trouble." And probably she was right. But my mother didn't let my life be, I would say, dictated or determined by what a kindergarten teacher said. She went to the Word of God. And she got verses for me, and she began to pray them over me all the time. Now, I didn't turn into a man of God right then. As a matter of fact, in my life, over 24 people in my life have died premature death. Many of my friends have been murdered on the streets of my city. Many of them have died of overdoses. I was with that crowd, and God delivered me. Basketball saved me before God did. And I saw people that I played with and grew up with die, leaving behind kids and leaving behind family because they never got out of the game. I know what I'm talking about, but I had a mother that went off vision and not by sight. And she kept on praying the Word of God over me. And finally, I went to a church camp for a girl. But the Holy Spirit smacked me upside the head and changed my life. And He delivered me. And God made me and who I am. So every Sunday, my mom's on the front row. Her faith has become sight. She prayed it. She saw it before. And now it's happening. And I give God the glory. This is an example of what you and I are to do. Well, the teacher said he's going to get in trouble. I guess that's the way it's going to be. No, what's the Word of God say? Well, they say that we should get divorced. What's the Word of God say? Well, they say my business is not going to make it. What's the Word of God say? You know, my mind's out of control. What's the Word of God say? I just want to encourage you today on Mother's Day. Mothers, come on, get a verse for your marriage. Get a verse for your kids and see it and go by vision. Go by faith and believe that God's going to save your family. Believe that God's going to save your son. Believe that God's going to save your daughter. So now there's four of us in my family, and my two brothers are struggling. They left God, had some trouble, came back to God. Now they're having trouble again. And I want to show you a picture. This past week, my mother met with one of my brothers, and she was challenging him about his lifestyle. And my brother said that, he said that this song, I'm listening to this worship song, and it's touching me. And my mom came back to the church. She works at the church with me, and she told me about the lunch. And so she goes into her office, and she begins to pray. And I want you to see this picture, and it's a bad picture because I took it. This is her. And she did for my brother what she did for me. Mothers, this is what you can do. Fathers, this is what you can do. You take it to God. And you go by what the Word of God says. My brother doesn't have a chance. The Holy Ghost is going to smack him up the head, and he's going to be a man of God. And she doesn't even know I took that picture. In my final moments, I want to ask you one more time, what are you living by? What you see or what you believe? God can move through your prayers. And then, as they come out and play, when you pray and you ask God, you get a verse out of the Bible and you ask God to move on your behalf. She was praying for my brother Josh. She prays Psalms 121 for him. And she's praying the Word of God. And so she's going off. She has a vision for my brother. And God's moving in his life slowly. He's listening to worship on his own. He's reaching for God. She's letting that be the guiding picture of what she sees. when you do that, God will get more specific with you. And he'll show you that there's more. And then when he shows you more, write down the vision. Write down what you're seeing and start believing that God can do it. We built 2 buildings in 7 years. I don't even know how we do it. Now I'm believing God for our downtown convention center and a downtown hotel to be a dream center to help girls get rescued out of sex trafficking. And we already have an outreach center. We already have one. It's just too small. So we're feeding people. We give clothes. We give food. We have addiction programs. We have all this stuff. I need more space because I know there's more people that need Jesus. So I'm dreaming, and God has formulated that in my spirit because I'm living by what I believe, not what I see. In fact, right now, there's a man in our church. He's getting ready to go through our pastor's track and be the pastor of recovery, and he was arrested. They found weapons in his home years ago. They found enough drugs to put him away for life in his home. His wife lost everything because she was there, and it was insane. His family is like in the game, like on the movies game. And God saved him and God delivered him. And now the vision God's put in his heart, he's gonna be a pastor of recovery. He's gonna help other addicts come out, because when Jesus touches your life, he changes the vision of what you can be. Come on, stand to your feet and let's give God a big praise on Mother's Day. Come on, give God a praise for your family. Give God a praise for your marriage. Give God a praise for your kids. Give God praise for who you are and what you can be when Jesus touches you. Come on, give him a big praise. He deserves it today on Mother's Day. Hallelujah. Say, well, he's fired up. I am fired up. I should be dead today. I should be gone today. I should be a loser. I should have baby mama drama. But God did a miracle on my life, and he can do a miracle for you. In the name of God. By your heart and by your head, please. Today, I want to ask you to receive Jesus. Pastor Jason will come and he'll lead you in that. I'm going to pray over you. And I want to ask you, are you living by faith? Are you living by what you see? God, I pray for this great church. I pray that you would compel them to live by what they believe. Lord, I know we see a lot. We're processing. We're feeling different emotions. All that's real. But Lord, you have the last word. Your word is greater than what we see. So touch the people. Touch every mother today. Touch every family today. Touch every person today. God, do a miracle in their life. Lord, if they're facing horrible things, do a miracle and turn it around, because we choose to live by what we believe and not by what we see.